This is Jim Inkster. Glad you're with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. Your number is 877-217-5757. Send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We begin with Dr. Owen Carmichael, Associate Professor, Director of the Biomedical Imaging Center at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center, standing tall and proud at 6400 Perkins Road here in the capital city. Good morning to you, Dr. Carmichael.
Good morning, Jim.
And Dr. Carmichael's been at Pennington for 6 years, but he's an interesting fellow. He grew up in Northern California, around Sacramento, the capital of the Golden State. Went to the University of California, BS with honors in electrical engineering and computer science at Berkeley. Now, how did you veer from that to what you're doing now?
Oh, it's an interesting story, I suppose. I started out very much interested in images of various types and how you could use computers to extract information from images. I worked on that all through graduate school and then realized that there's a whole world of medical images out there, including images of the brain from MRI and from PET scanning. So I started to move more and more from understanding images to understanding images of the brain, and that led me right into neuroscience, which is where I ended up today.
PhD in robotics from Carnegie Mellon. So you have gone to some outstanding universities, and as you note, your research interests, brain imaging, late life cognitive decline, and image processing methodology. So you probably fully engrossed in dementia and what happens to many, far too many of our people who are of a seasoned age and some who are not senior citizens.
Well, this is right. So we're learning that late life cognitive decline and people who have Alzheimer's disease, it's really the culmination of a process that starts 25 to 30 years earlier when you're in your 50s or 60s. And so it's true, we think of it as being a disease of old age, but really it starts in middle age and possibly even earlier than that.
Are there any markers for people who are in their 50s and 60s?
Well, there are no definitive diagnostic tests, so I want to make that very clear. We cannot tell when you're 50 that you are for sure going to get Alzheimer's disease later on. But there are a couple of indicators that you're at higher risk. So if you had it in your family, if you have a certain gene called APOE that you carry, that'll give you higher risk. And then another set of factors that are common to other diseases, like having heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and other kind of vascular risks like
all
that.
All those other health impairments.
That's right. That's
also
right.
Affect dementia.
This is true. It'll increase your risk of heart attack, stroke, and dementia as well.
And that brings us to the topic at hand. Dr. Carmichael is looking at why some people get more benefits from exercise and whether age makes a difference. And the Pennington Center is embarking on a process that will involve, I suppose, several people who will participate. How many people do you anticipate being in the program?
So this study is going to have 375 people at five different sites across the United States. So we expect to enroll about 100 people at the Pennington Center over the next few years, starting in the springtime.
All right. And you believe that exercise has more benefits for some than others based on our cells' power plants.
Well, this is right. Yeah. So it's been pretty well established that some people get better benefits from exercise than others. It's broadly beneficial for a wide variety of different reasons. It helps your bones. It helps your heart. It helps your brain as well. But if for the longest time, it was thought that people who didn't get benefit from exercise just simply weren't doing the exercise or were not doing it hard enough. And now we know that that's just not true. And so the mystery is really, why do some people benefit more than others? And we think that it has to do with your genetics and how your genetics set you up to have better, as you say, power plants of the cells, mitochondria, and that function mm-hmm. either better or worse based on your background.
Is there a large chasm between those who benefit a great deal and others who don't benefit much at all from the same types of exercise?
Well, yes, it does appear that way. So the studies that have been done thus far have looked at how these power plants of the cells performed before and after people go through an exercise program. And there are some people in those studies who really don't seem to change very much at all. It's as though they didn't exercise very much at all. And then there are other people who, as you would expect, show a lot of improvement over the exercise period.
On the whole, though, I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I would think more people benefit from exercise than those who do not benefit.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. So on average, if you take 100 people and you put them all on an exercise plan, you might see, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 of those people show really big benefits. But it's the people who are left behind that we're really trying to focus on in this study.
And when you say benefits, are we talking about weight loss? Are we talking about improving those numbers for glucose and blood pressure and those kinds of things?
So it's both. So for me, I think the biggest, most whopping effects are on people who have diabetes, controlling their blood sugar, controlling blood pressure as well. And there's also a wide range of effects on mood and cognitive thinking, so your ability to remember things, how you feel, how you deal with anxiety, and other kind of mental effects.
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And our guest is Dr. Owen Carmichael, 6 years at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center. He says 375 people will participate in this study about how much of a benefit there is from exercise, and some benefit a lot, others some, and then others virtually not at all. And it is hard to believe that some people would not benefit, at least in, for example, you're using more calories.
Right.
You would think you would lose weight if nothing else.
Right. Well, this is one of the conundrums of exercise, is that you are burning more calories. And therefore, if you are burning more calories and not eating more calories, then you should be losing weight. There are two little problems with that, though. One is what's called metabolic adaptation, which is to say that there's a little bit of evidence that when you start an exercise plan, the number of calories that you burn while you're just sitting around doing nothing goes down. And so you're burning more calories during exercise, but burning fewer calories at other times. And so that could foil your attempts to actually burn more calories overall and lose weight.
And of course, if you exercise and eat more, you're probably not going to lose weight. You may gain more muscle mass, though.
This is right. This is right. But there is this topic, which is a little bit controversial, called compensatory food intake, which is the idea that surreptitiously, without you really knowing that it's occurring, you're eating more because you have started exercising. And as you say, there's no chance of losing weight if you eat more while you're exercising more.
And does muscle weigh more than fat?
Well, muscle's denser, so that's the other thing that people get a little bit forget about, is that as you add muscle mass, that muscle has its own energy needs, and so you'll need to increase your how much you take in just to maintain that new muscle mass.
So a 250-pound person in some cases might be in shape, let's say if they're 6'2". And in other cases, they might be wildly out of shape, depending on muscle mass, right?
For sure. And so there are these many, many anecdotes about how body weight, and the usual way of summarizing a body weight in terms of body mass index, is really not adequate. And you really don't have to go any further than athletes. So very, very large individuals who have a huge amount of muscle mass on board, if you just calculate their BMI, they appear to be obese and therefore at high risk of heart attack and diabetes and so on, when really we know that that's not true.
Well, the most famous person in the world is, of course, our president, and he is listed at 6'3", but based on photographs, we know he's closer to 6'1". Joe Burrow, who's 6'3", the LSU quarterback, towered over him, and President Trump is listed at 244, and that may be right because he may not have much muscle. It may just be a glob of fat that the president has, and that's why he doesn't weigh more than 244. But it would seem that he and many others would benefit from exercise. And I think one of the things you don't want to do is say with this study that some people don't benefit, saying, well, why should I even go through that if I'm not going to benefit?
Well, this is right. I mean, this is one of the ways that we have to very, very carefully shape the message that we provide to people. The last thing we want to do is give people yet another reason to not exercise. There are plenty of reasons. Modern life is busy. Sometimes it's difficult to carve time out of your day to do an exercise plan. And I do want to emphasize that most people do benefit from exercise. And another point is that it might not just be a question of whether you exercise or not, but what type of exercise you do. So in this study, we're going to have half of the people be on a resistance program, so weightlifting, and then the other half be on an aerobic program, so an exercise bike or a treadmill. So it could be that based on your genetics, if you do 23andMe or something similar to that, we may be able to look at that data and say, okay, you're better placed to do more weightlifting and less treadmill, or do it 5 times a week instead of 3 times a week, or something like that, to not just say yes or no to exercise, but give you a prescription of what type of exercise would benefit you the most.
5 locations, where will they be?
So let's see if I can list them off. I've got Denver, San Antonio, Pittsburgh, Orlando, Florida, and our own Baton Rouge.
There you go. We'll spend another segment with Dr. Owen Carmichael from the Pennington Center. 877-217-5757, your number, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Dr. Nick Carmichael from the Pennington Center, where he is associate professor and director of the Biomedical Imaging Center. Pennington is recognized throughout the world for its research in many areas, but primarily when it comes to exercise and lifestyle and the benefits or lack thereof. And in Dr. Carmichael's case, he says exercise has immense benefits, but some people benefit far more than others. And so there is a study that is starting to determine why some benefit more than others and how much of a difference there is. 877-217-5757. Let's go to Nick in, Nick in Mid-City. Nick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Nick.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I wanted to call in and ask if there are any known strategies for improving mitochondrial health, whether that's via diet or otherwise. I know exercise is generally assumed to be a good strategy for that, but obviously there's some evidence that not everybody benefits the same.
All right. What kind of health?
Mitochondrial.
All right.
Right. So these are those power plants of the cells that provide energy to your muscles. And honestly, by far the most research has been done on exercise as a way to improve your mitochondrial functioning. I would call other research on ways to improve the mitochondria very, very much more preliminary in terms of what it's saying. And so systematic strategies for improving those power plants of the cells is really not, I don't think, very well studied outside of the usual getting on a treadmill, getting on an exercise bike.
877-217-5757, your number, HB in Denham Springs. Hello, HB, you're on with Dr. Carmichael.
Good morning, gentlemen. Doctor, I've heard Mr. Jim comment many times that Mr. Trump can't lift his own weight. According to what y'all just said, I'm not too far away from being about the same size and weight, but I'm 75 years old.
Uh-huh.
I can't lift my weight either.
Right.
But I can go 18 hours a day. How would you grade Mr. Trump based on his activity in accord with White House physicians?
Well, gosh, that is a loaded question. I don't actually have access to the president's medical records, and I don't know the outcome of any of his exercise tests. I guess we got our closest look at his current health when he tested positive for the coronavirus. And during those updates, we were told that, you know, at that time he was in pretty good health and battled the virus, you know, kind of like in a typical case. He didn't have a severe course of it. So beyond that, in terms of his aerobic ability, I'm not sure I know much about his exercise plan that he's on now.
He rides on a golf cart frequently.
Well, there's that. I mean, I would, you know, I am not one to discourage anybody from any form of exercise. So when the president is golfing, that is walking around, that's getting outdoors, that is exercise. I think people kind of say, oh, come on now, that's not proper exercise. But that's a fair amount of walking.
It's
even
better,
if you
better than nothing.
It's better, absolutely. And so that's a good thing to do.
All right. And I have never disputed that he is a man of immense energy. There is no doubt about that. 877-217-5757. Ann in Forest Park. Ann, you are on with Dr. Carmichael. Hi, Ann.
Yeah, hi. Actually, it's Arnie.
Okay, Arnie.
Anyway, my question was, I think I saw the email about this study, but what is the criteria for the personnel that you're looking for?
That's a great question. We're looking for anybody who is in at all age ranges and at all levels of weight. And so really anyone from ages 21 all the way up until very, very late in the lifespan, older folks. And you can be healthy weight or overweight, even people who are obese. The only criterion is that you have to be able to tolerate the tests that we do, including MRI. And you also have to commit to coming to our center about 3 times a week to do the exercise. And so really the people who don't qualify for the study have some very serious illness that prevents them from exercising, things like heart conditions, and just other people who cannot tolerate that kind of usual exercise.
877-217-5757 is your number for Dr. Owen Carmichael from the Pennington Center. Ben Bailey and Baker. Hi, Ben Bailey. You're on with Dr. Carmichael.
Yes, good morning. And Dr. Carmichael, you just mentioned folks with heart condition. I was wondering, is there any data in terms of the effects of mild exercise such as walking with people with heart conditions?
Well, right. So the first thing I would tell you is that if you do have a heart condition, it's absolutely imperative that you talk to your physician about what kinds of exercise are appropriate for you and what kinds of exercise you should avoid, because it's obviously there's a wide range of different heart conditions, and some of them you really want to be very, very careful with taxing the heart. Now, that said, I think every physician out there is going to know very, very well exactly what kind of exercise is helpful for people with different heart conditions, and things like walking for many, many people is a very good idea to try to get a little bit of benefit to your heart. And so it varies quite a bit. So I don't want to make any blanket statements like, oh, you can jog or you should swim or anything like that. But I do think that there is a lot of benefit for a lot of people who do have heart conditions.
Ron in St. Francisville, you're on with Dr. Owen Carmichael. Hi, Ron.
Yes, hi.
What's your question?
Okay, sorry, I'm not on. Given the young girl, the 10-year-old, I believe, in England, who caused the death, which contributed to air pollution.
Okay, you're very hard to understand. So I tell you what, we're going to try to get you to a better place. And hang on, Ron, please, and we will get back to you. Richard at Whole Foods. Richard, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. I just wanted to share and make a comment that I participated in the first exercise program that Pennington did. I was the one, I did the walking. They had walking, lifting weights, and walking and lifting weights. And I just want to say that I was so impressed with the young people that worked there. They were phenomenal. And if they're going to be our future leaders, I think we're in good stead. And I love what Pennington's doing. They're great for our state. That's the only comment I wanted to make.
All right. Thank you, Richard. And let's go back to Ron at St. Francisville. Ron, I think you're in a better spot now. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Given the young lady, I believe the 10-year-old in England, whose cause of death was attributed to air pollution, I'd like to know what the doctor thinks about aerobic exercises in different locations.
What about exercising in highly polluted areas? Is that a danger?
Well, this is actually a very controversial topic, especially here in Louisiana, where we have a lot of conversation about airborne pollutants from the energy sector. And I think we don't really know yet exactly. There's some very clear examples. For example, after forest fires in Northern California, there were all kinds of people who had lung conditions that developed from that due to exercising outside. In terms of the long-term effects of airborne toxins like you're discussing on exercise and where you should exercise and how you should exercise, I don't think the data is fully in on that yet.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Still time to get in under the wire with Dr. Carmichael. Mark downtown says, is there any benefit shown from periodic fasting?
Yes, this is actually a current topic of obesity research, the idea that we should all be eating a little bit less over a very long period of time, and that's very, very hard to do. And so maybe what we call intermittent fasting or periodic fasting, as the question was phrased, could have some benefits. And in fact, it's very, very promising. So going on something like a 5 days of eating fairly normally and then fasting for a day or two and then getting back on your normal eating schedule for 5 days, the studies that have been done thus far have suggested that people who do that actually show benefits in terms of blood sugar and blood pressure and these other kinds of indicators. So the jury's not fully in yet, but I think it's a promising approach.
And we're going to spend a bit more time with Dr. Carmichael, a few minutes, so there is a chance to pose a question before he leaves, and then we'll move to Mark Ballard, as is our Thursday tradition, the Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and much to catch up with him about, involving the state and the people who run it. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman producing, and we'll be back after this brief timeout for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard of the Capitol and the Advocate and Picayune. He's on deck and waiting to talk about Louisiana people and politics and the week that was. But we are finishing up with Dr. Owen Carmichael of the Pennington Center. For those who would like to participate in this study about how much benefit there is to exercise, how do they do so?
You would go to the Pennington Biomedical website. If that's available to you, it's pbrc.edu. Or you can go to Google and type in Pennington Biomedical Exercise Studies.
And a listener steered me to the New York Times science section of this week, headline, "To Lose Weight, Exercise a Lot." It says, "Can exercise help us shed pounds? An interesting new study involving overweight men and women found that working out can help us lose weight in part by remodeling appetite hormones. But to benefit, the study suggests we most likely have to exercise a lot, burning at least 3,000 calories a week. In the study, that meant working out 6 days a week of up to an hour, around 300 minutes a week. Do most people have the patience to do that?"
Oh, heavens no. I mean, I'm not sure that it's about patience as much as the demands of life, all of the chauffeuring your kids around to soccer practice and staying late at the office when your boss demands you to, checking in on your parents. I think it's mainly about the demands of modern life that make that so hard.
But you know, a lot of the people with those responsibilities find ways to do it, and then others who don't have as much, if they are not into doing it, they find ways not to do it.
Oh, it's true.
Jonathan in Mid-City, our final caller for Dr. Carmichael. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Dr. Carmichael. Just a question. I was wondering what kind of diet and exercise regimen that you personally follow to, you know, for yourself.
I cheat in a way. I married the world's best registered dietitian. Her name is Kathy Carmichael, and she really takes care of the diet around our house, and she employs all of her years of training to do that. So I'm maybe not the most typical case in terms of diet. But in exercise, we have an elliptical machine that I use. I like to run as well. And besides being a dietitian, my wife is also a passionate swimmer. And so she really got myself and our kids into swimming laps. And so that's what I tend to do for exercise.
All right. Matt tells me another caller has been waiting patiently, and we don't want to let her go away without talking briefly to Dr. Carmichael. Miriam, you're on. Miriam in Mid-City, you're on with Dr. Owen Carmichael.
Good morning. What about the philosophy of exercising like 5 minutes at a time, spread out?
Right. So there's the technical term for that is HIIT, or high intensity interval training. I think as long as it adds up to the right number of minutes with an elevated heart rate, I think it has some potential. And getting back to busy modern life, I think if you fit enough of those sessions into your day, it can benefit you. But it's really about carving out enough time.
Thank you, Dr. Carmichael. Appreciate your good work.
And thank you.
Let's bring you back soon.
Happy to be here.
Take care. Happy holidays.